For the past few years, scientists all over the world have been receiving a mysterious package. It's a beautifully made book, and it's filled with seemingly unsolvable puzzles with only one clue, a postmark from Gothenburg, Sweden. Now, no one could figure out who was behind them, so that's when journalist John Ronson got involved.
So I flew to Gothenburg, and what I discovered in a nutshell was that the person who had sent out this book was nuts, and the reason why nobody could solve the puzzles was because there was no solution. It was just randomness. It was just a crackpot.
Now, somehow, this got John Ronson fascinated with the possibility that the man behind the books was a psychopath. So he decided to explore more, and he wrote a book about it. It's called The Psychopath Test, A Journey Through the Madness Industry. And when he stopped by our studios, John Ronson told me the mystery of the mad puzzle maker reminded him of something he'd heard about before.
And what it reminded me of was a consensus of psychologists that there was a certain sort of madness that was so powerful it trickles down to affect society, it remolds society, and that madness is psychopathy, because psychopaths tend to make very ruthless, unsuccessful leaders.
We're going to obviously get more into who is a psychopath, but around that time, you got your hands on a copy of the DSM-IV. This is the American Psychiatric Association's compendium of every mental disorder ever. And you started reading it, and you found that you had a lot of problems.
Yeah, well, I sort of was casually wondering whether I had any mental disorders, and I instantly diagnosed myself with 12.
Well done.
So I was wondering, well, what does this mean? Does this mean that I'm far crazier than I thought I was? Or does it mean that it's not a good idea to self-diagnose if you're not a trained professional? Or does it mean that the psychiatry profession has a strange need to label what's essentially normal behaviour as mental disorders?
And that's the conclusion you basically reached.
Well, somewhere between all three, actually. I think a bit of all three.
And so naturally you went to meet a kindred spirit. You went to go see Scientologists, who are, of course, big opponents of psychiatry.
Yeah, I thought if I'm going to write a book in which I try and prove or disprove the theory shared by psychologists that psychopaths rule the world, I should meet a critic of psychiatry. So I had lunch with the Scientologists, and I said, well, can you prove to me that psychiatry is a pseudoscience that can't be trusted? And they said, we can prove it to you. We can get you into Broadmoor, which is Britain's most notorious high-security mental facility, and introduce you to a man called Tony, who faked madness, and now he's stuck.
He can't get out now because he did such a good job of tricking everybody that he was crazy.
Yeah, he wanted to get out of a prison sentence. He'd beaten a guy up when he was 17 years old.
It was through Tony that you discovered something called the psychopath test, right?
Well, this was so extraordinary. After I left Tony, obviously I did what any good journalist should do. I wrote to his clinician and I said, well, can you tell me? Is he sane? Is he not sane? What's the story? And his clinician wrote back to me and said, yes, we accept that he did fake madness to get out of a prison sentence, because the minute he got to Broadmoor and realised what a massive mistake he'd made, all his delusions and hallucinations just melted away. However, we have assessed him. He's a psychopath, and faking your brain going wrong is exactly the kind of manipulative and deceitful act of a psychopath. Wearing a pinstripe suit to meet a journalist is exactly the kind of grandiose and glib and superficially charming act of a psychopath.
Lots of bankers wear pinstripe suits.
They most certainly do. And Robert Hare, the eminent Canadian psychologist who invented the psychopath checklist, has done research and has recently announced that you're four times more likely to find a psychopath at the top of the corporate ladder than you are walking around in the janitor's office.
I'm speaking with the author John Ronson. His new book is called The Psychopath Test, A Journey Through the Madness Industry. John Ronson, there was one guy that you went to go see who has not committed any violent crimes. His name is Al Dunlap, and he was the CEO of Sunbeam, and was nicknamed Chainsaw Al for, laying off all these people. And you went down to his house in Florida to basically run the psychopath test on him?
Yeah.
So what made or makes Al Dunlap a potential psychopath?
Well, his past behavior, for instance, his first wife said in her divorce papers that he'd threatened her with a knife and said he always wondered what human flesh tasted like. But more than that, when he was in charge of Sunbeam, he had a reputation as an incredibly ruthless and merciless cost cutter, to the extent that he seemed to almost enjoy firing people. So I turned up at his house and it was filled with sculptures of predatory animals. we're talking about a huge collection. And he immediately started to talk about how he believed in the predatory spirit, which was word for word what Bob Hare writes about in the checklist. Look out for their belief in the predatory spirit.
How did he come out? Is he a psychopath?
Well, he certainly would score pretty high. He admitted to many, many items on the checklist, but redefined them as leadership positives. So manipulation was another way of saying leadership. Grandiose sense of self-worth, which would have been a hard one for him to deny because he was standing underneath a giant oil painting of himself. He was turning the psychopath checklist into that Who Moved My Cheese, which is a book I haven't read, by the way. I'm just assuming that's a good analogy.
How did it feel to sort of like spend, I guess you spend about 2 years just hanging out around psychopaths and then trying to identify people who were psychopaths? Yeah. It actually kind of took a toll on you. You write about that a little bit in the book.
Yeah, something kicked in the months after doing the Hair checklist. I have great admiration for the Hair checklist. I think it's right. I think it's as scientific as psychology can ever be. However, becoming qualified in it can really kind of mess with your head. You know, like I did with Al Dunlap, I dehumanized him. I turned him into this splurge of madness in my mind for good journalism, for good entertainment.
Has he contacted you?
No, he hasn't.
What about Tony? Where is he? Is he still at Broadmoor?
Well, he did get out. I went to his tribunal and they let him out because they decided that even if he was a psychopath, he shouldn't have been in mental hospital for 7 years longer than he would have been in jail. That's a evident miscarriage of justice. It was funny, actually. After his tribunal, when they said they were going to let him out, he came up to me in the corridor and he said, John, he said, what are you going to remember, John? He said, we're all a bit psychopathic. He said, you are, I am. Well, obviously I am.
That's the author John Ronson. His new book is called The Psychopath Test, A Journey Through the Madness Industry. John Ronson, thank you so much for coming in.
Thank you, Guy.